Well, today is what we call every fall, our fall kickoff. NFL football is in full swing. College football is in full swing. And as of today, New Hope Christian Center is in full swing. Unfortunately, our summer has passed us by. And it makes me sad. Because I know shoveling snow and California transplants on snowy roads is not going to be a whole lot of fun. Nothing personal, but I think there's a lot more of them showing up because they drive differently than we do around here. So if you are a California transplant, slow down and be kind. This message here, I do every year, and for some of you who have not been here for a full year, it lets you know what we are about here at New Hope Christian Center. If you have been around for a while, you've heard this message before, but I believe it's always good to refresh and refocus on what we are trying to do here as a family, as a fellowship, doing what God wants us to do. And how we go about it. So if you have your Bibles, open it to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This is one of the last things that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And how many of you know that if you're telling somebody something that you want them to remember, you make it the last thing that you tell them? My wife will give me a list of things. Now it's, I just like, don't tell me, text me. But she used to say, don't forget the milk or don't forget the whatever. If it was the most important thing, you better tell me that last or I'm not going to remember it. This is what Jesus left his disciples when he ascended into heaven. He says, make sure that you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus spent 3.5 years living with 12 men, teaching them what he wanted them to carry on to be the beginning of his church. He says, remember these things. Remember these things. Go make disciples. A disciple is simply a follower of someone else. That's what a disciple is. Jesus modeled this disciples what he wanted passed on to the next generation. So when I took over as a head pastor 11 years ago, wow, I was 12 years old. And as I read through Acts and the rest of the New Testament, I realized that there was an emphasis that the early church had on how they were going to do things and how they did things as the body of Christ. And there were three things that the early church focused on. They focused on connecting people with God. That was the number one thing. They introduced people to who Jesus was, why he walked on this earth, why he gave himself up on a cross, and why it's so important for our eternity. He died to take care of your sins and my sins. So the early church wanted to make sure that they connected people, they connected disciples to God. The second thing that they did, they connected with one another. There's strength in numbers. I don't know if you've noticed in our culture today, Christianity is getting a pretty bad rap. Those people who call themselves Christians are often sought out and ridiculed. And persecuted, and we ain't seen nothing yet. There are parts of the world where they are literally Sorry, Larry. They are actually sought out and killed for their beliefs. That's going on today in other countries. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're kind of trending that way. Where Christianity is trying to silence those who speak about their God. So they connected with other believers because there's strength in numbers, and we need one another to encourage one another, to lift one another up. Because you're going to go through difficult times, and it's easier to go through difficult times with other people lifting you up than it is on your own. See, our natural inclination when things start to go bad is to pull away. If you hurt a dog, usually they will run and hide. They want to be alone, but they need help. So do we as Christians. We need one another. We need grandmas and grandpas in Christ. We need aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters in Christ to help us through this walk. Jesus never intended anyone to walk through their faith or walk out their faith by themselves. Everybody had someone in the scriptures that they leaned on. Jesus had 12, but he really had 3 that were his closest disciples. And Jesus often stole away to be with his Father. The third thing that they did is when they trained these people up as disciples, they released them to serve God and to repeat the process that Jesus had given them. So our mission here at New Hope Christian Center is the same mission that Jesus gave to the apostles when he ascended into heaven. Go and make disciples. Go and make followers of Christ. You see, there's a lot of New Age thinking. There's a lot of bad doctrine. There's a lot of bad teaching that has crept into Christian churches. And the Word of God never changes. It's the same. So you can't start ripping out pages that you don't like and tossing them away because you don't agree with it. It doesn't change the truth. The truth is the truth. The truth doesn't care whether you believe in it or not. It's still the truth. And the truth is never going to change. So we here at New Hope are using the same process. We call it connect, release. We connect people to God through teaching. We connect people to God through worship. We connect, the next one is connect to others. We give you the opportunity to connect with other people. The problem is, you can't connect with other people when you're not here. It's impossible. In order to connect, you have to devote yourself to the family. Because otherwise you're not connected. You're not receiving blessings. You're not receiving instruction. You're not receiving encouragement when you don't show up. And the way I look at it is, if you don't show up, you're robbing someone else of a blessing, possibly, that God wanted to use through you to that other person. So it's a twofold thing. So if you sit at home and go, I'm just going to stay at home and watch football. What if God had a divine appointment for you? And he wanted to use you to minister to someone else. If you're not there, he can't use you. And if you're not there, you can't receive what God might be wanting to give you on that day. So we connect to others for a reason. And then we release to serve God. Connect, release. You see, when you get that instruction and you get poured into and you get fed, you're not supposed to just hang on to that. You receive that so that you can share it with other people. So that you can do the things that God has purposed for you to do. See, whether you believe it or not, God has a purpose for every certain person that he has ever created. And so when we get trained up, when we learn how to connect to God, when we learn how to connect with other people, then we can be released to teach that to other people. And that's exactly what the new church did. The early church, and it exploded with that model. Thousands being added daily. Because this process works. So what did that look like in real life? How did that, when the rubber met the road, how did they do that in the early church? In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they were devoted to four things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's the scriptures. That is the book that we have right now. They were devoted to it. You see, if you're a devoted husband, that means you love your wife. Incredibly, you're devoted to her. Not to somebody else, but to her. It is a high priority to be devoted to something. It takes top priority in your life. I could ask each and every one of you, what is it that you're devoted to? And if you sat there and told me what your day looks like or your week looks like, I could tell you the things that you're devoted to. Because you're spending the most time doing those things. You see, we often give God not the first fruits. We give him what's left over at the end of the week. Oh, I'm tired. I'm not going to go today. Oh, I'm tired. I'm not going tonight. Oh, I've got this. Oh, I've got that. Then you're not devoted to the teaching of the scriptures. How much time are you spending feeding yourself? I always had this picture of me teaching from here God's word. And I look out over the seats and y'all were a bunch of baby birds. And we have a set of robins that every year come back and nest underneath my lean-to where my woodshed is. I don't want them to because they squawk at me when I go get my lawnmower. But I get to see close up how things happen with when they're raising the little chicks, little birds. And if the mama's not in the nest when I go in there, the little baby birds are hunkered down. But if I make a noise, they go. They just open their mouth. And they're straining like, mama's around somewhere. She's going to feed us. Well, I see that. I saw that picture in my head. And I started and everybody went. The birds grow up very quickly. They mature very quickly. And it gets to the point where the mama kicks them out of the nest. And they can't always fly yet. And there comes a point where mama teaches them to feed themselves. You'll never see a mature robin sitting in a nest waiting for some other bird to come and feed them. It doesn't happen. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you still come in here and open your beak to be fed because you haven't learned how to feed yourself, there's something wrong. You see, we start out that way, but we're not supposed to stay that way. I used to show a slide, and Chris Siebers loves it. And it's a slide of this big, chunky baby in a diaper, and it has Mr. Bean's head on it. It's the weirdest slide you've ever seen. I should have pulled it up. But it just looks bizarre. There's this baby body with a man's head. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of Christians are, that have been in church for years and years and years and never learned how to feed themselves and have never grown up spiritually. Here at New Hope, we're going to give you the opportunity to grow. We can't make you grow. We can feed you, we can water you, but we can't make you grow. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And that comes from connecting to God, connecting to others, so that you can be released for service. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They spent time learning the scriptures. Why? Jesus used only the scriptures when he was battling the enemy. When he was being tempted in the wilderness, he used the written word to fight off the enemy. But you can't use the word to fight the enemy if you don't know the word. It says that the word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon that God has given us in our arsenal. All the other weapons or all the other pieces are for defense, except for the sword. And the sword can be used for defense, and it can be used for offense. So to know the scriptures is to be able to yield your sword more like a master. Because I guarantee you, when you're going to battle against the enemy, he knows the word. He knows the word. He twists it, he perverts it, but he knows it. So you need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Number two, you need to be devoted to the fellowship. You need to be devoted to one another. They were devoted. They got together regularly. They became parts of other people's lives. What I think is so awesome here at New Hope is that we have kids that used to be in my youth group who now have kids who call me Papa Jim. That is awesome. Papa Jim, except for little Emma. She calls me Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. But I'm their papa. That's family. And you can't develop those kinds of relationships by not showing up. You are going to get out of the relationship at New Hope what you invest into your relationship with New Hope. Don't come sparingly and expect to be a major part of the family. Because if you do, we notice that. We notice when people are just kind of nonchalant about showing up to anything. Those are not the people that I'm going to invest my time into. I've only got a limited amount of time. I've had people call me and say, hey, my friend doesn't go to church, or they go to another church and they need counseling. Are you willing to do it? And I say, no, I'm sorry, I won't. Because I need to keep that time for my family. Jesus focused on the people that showed up. Did he not? He told the wealthy young ruler, this is what you need to do. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come back and follow me. And the guy left sad, and Jesus was sad in his heart, but you never hear one more word about that wealthy young ruler. Jesus didn't go running after him. He says, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you have to show up. You have to be present. See, thousands and thousands of people followed Jesus all over, but he spent time with 12. He modeled how to do this thing. If you were a Christian. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. And this means, it kind of has a twofold meaning. One is carrying on communion regularly. When you do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, if you do this. He said, when. That is something that should be continued. They continued to do that in the early church. It also meant meeting in homes with other families and sharing a meal, breaking of bread. Today it doesn't mean hardly anything. Doesn't mean much. Back then in their culture, to sit down at a meal or recline and have a meal and break bread with other people meant you are part of my family. I respect you. You would not break bread with an enemy. You didn't do it. So when you broke bread with someone, there was a bond that was happening. When you invite someone over to your house or go to someone else's house for a meal, you are getting an opportunity to connect on a deeper level. You can't just join a family and expect to fit in. It's interesting that when the daughters got married, and Andrew and Connor would come around, and me and my wife and my daughters, we would talk about things that we did in the past, and we would laugh. And Andrew and Connor are just kind of sitting there going, we weren't there. We didn't know. But the longer that they're around, we're building relationships with them, and now we're sharing stories together because we've spent time together. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to one another in the fellowship. And the final thing is that they were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to praying for one another. They were devoted to lifting one another up, encouraging one another in prayer. When's the last time you called on a buddy or whatever and said, hey, I need prayer? Unfortunately, we preach it, but we don't always do it. See, we need to be able to build relationships with other people that we trust, that we can call up or text and say, hey, I need you to pray for me today. I'm struggling. The way that the world is going, Christians are going to need to learn how to pray more and not just be a passing thing. Or not just be a little, oh, I got my prayers in this morning, 5 minutes. Then you spend the rest of the 23 hours and 55 minutes not praying. Praying is not punching a time clock. Praying is something that you do naturally. It's acknowledging and knowing that God is with you everywhere you go. Always ready, always available for a conversation. Prayer is not, there's different aspects of prayer, but simple prayer is nothing more than having a conversation with God and being aware of His presence. There's all other kinds of prayer. There's intercessory prayer, where you're praying on behalf of someone else. But I believe that with the way that the culture and the world is going, prayer is going to need to become more and more important in a Christian's life. All right. We refer to these four elements as the pillars of the church here at New Hope. Everything that we build on top of them sits on those four pillars. If someone wants to do something that does not fit one of those four pillars, we don't do it. It is the very thing that supports, with Jesus as the cornerstone, these four pillars support everything that we do. Every program that we have, every ministry that we have has to set on those four pillars. We are called to make disciples, and as we follow Christ, we are called to teach others to do the same. But we cannot teach what we do not know. You ever had a teacher teach you a class that he didn't know? I did. It was the most frustrating class I ever took in my entire life. It was calculus and trigonometry in college. And I hated it, because it was a student teacher teaching it. And when you had a question, raise your hand, ask, how come this is here and this is here, and then you don't do that over here? His response was always, I'll give you the answer tomorrow because I have to go home and pull it up on the computer to answer that. The guy didn't know. And he didn't teach me squat. And it was the most frustrating thing in the world. If you are going to be a disciple maker, you have to first be a disciple. You have to be a follower. You cannot teach other people how to live out their lives if you don't know how to do it yourself. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And usually what it does, it ends up ruining the life of the imposter and the life of the one that was following. There have been a lot of people who have walked away from God because of that very reason. I don't want anything to do with God anymore. That guy was full of baloney. Look what he did. Look where he's at. You see, that person wasn't following Christ. We need to follow Christ before we can teach other people's how to do it. You see, the modern church's plan for discipleship is this. They want to get as many people into the doors of the church by any means possible, so that the pastor and the leaders can do what they do. Most Christians believe that their job is done once they get someone to come to church with them. Discipleship looked very different in the early church. They met together in homes. They became family. Each believer was to be taught the ways of Jesus and then expected to do the same with others. You see these mega churches with thousands and thousands of people coming in, and they have 500 programs, and they have 250 life groups, and they have this, and they have concerts, and they have comedians come in, and they have the big show, and the lights, and smoke during worship, and are they really making disciples? How can you? The Son of God could only mentor 12 at a time. I don't understand how these mega church pastors can think that they can do it with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. Are they really making disciples, or are they just putting booties in the seats? Jesus showed the disciples how he wanted it done. And if you go to another church, this should be being done, because this is the model. This is the instruction manual for how to do it. And unfortunately, a lot of churches don't even teach the Word of God. They teach principles or they tell stories. Well, that's great. But what good's a story when your life is going to shambles? You need the Word of God. You need other people to rally around you. And that's what we do here at New Hope Christian Center. We have one more thing that I like to bring out. Because the reality is, families are messy. Anybody have a perfect family here? Yeah, not one of you. Ashley does. You are going to have people that rub you the wrong way. You are going to have people that you don't agree with. You're going to have people that you don't think their daughter should be wearing what she's wearing. You're going to have people that have tattoos and you don't like tattoos, and that's just the way it is. There are going to be certain things that come up. Guaranteed. There's a scripture that says it is impossible for you to not be offended. You see, we naturally are easily offended. Are we not? Someone looks at you wrong. Someone sends you a text and you didn't like the tone of it. Texts don't have tones. Did you see what she said to me and the way she said it? That's a text. Those are letters. You couldn't see her face. You didn't listen to her voice. You couldn't see her body. You jumped to conclusions. Ah, I'm done with her. There are people that are going to irritate you. And we have a saying here at New Hope Christian Center, and it goes like this. In the essentials are salvation issues. It's like, there is only one God. We have to be able to agree on that. In the essentials, there must be unity. We have to be unified in certain things. If you believe that Jesus was not a real person, there's a problem. And you call yourself a Christian, there's a problem. There are certain mandates, there are certain things that we have to agree on. Those are the essentials. In the essentials, there must be unity. In the non-essential issues, there must be liberty. Liberty to agree to disagree. Liberty for you to believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. One of the biggest things that has divided churches is the color of carpet, or the color of the chairs, or what kind of music you play. Some people will not go into a church if they have any instruments that are not mentioned in the Bible. Banjos out. Just name it. And people are like, no, it's not in the Bible, I'm not going to go. Is it an eternal issue, a salvation issue, if you go into that church and they have a banjo playing? You can't walk in and go, all these people are going to hell because they're playing a banjo. Unfortunately, there are people out there like that. It's nuts. It's a non-essential, non-salvation issue. I could stay up here and tell you for hours all the reasons that people have left this church. And every single one of them was a non-essential issue. Well, you're not wearing a mask. You're right. I'm not. Is that an essential issue? I actually had somebody tell me that you're not wearing a mask. And I said, that is a non-essential issue. And the person says, no, it is an essential issue. Because if you loved Jesus, you would wear a mask. It became essential to that person. So basically everybody that chose not to wear a mask was going to hell. Wow. And I looked through my Bible and I couldn't find it anywhere. Those are non-essential issues. And finally, in the essentials, there must be unity. In the non-essentials, there must be liberty. In all things, there must be love. Love trumps everything. Whether or not you vote Democrat or Republican, non-essential. Whether you agree with the mandates or you don't, non-essential. Whether you have tattoos or you don't, non-essential. Well, but the Bible says, da, 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 da. Well, see, people love to pick and choose like one verse, and then they just throw away all the other verses that talk about it. No, they're non-essential issues. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Essential issue. That is a salvation issue. Larry is wearing shorts. I can't come to a church where a man's wearing shorts. Non-essential issue. Larry's actually wearing pants today, but I just use them. Whether you like the 49ers or you don't, Carol, I pray for you every day. It is a non-essential issue, and I love Carol anyway. I pray for her, that God would open her eyes to the sin in her life, but I still love her. In all things, there must be love. In all things, there must be love. So how are we working that out here at New Hope Christian Center on Sunday mornings? We don't have a slide for this because I was just introduced to this idea by Angela, and I thought it was a great idea. This year, some of you that have been around for a while have noticed that we did not have Sunday morning workout this morning. And we are not going to have Sunday morning workout this quarter or this part of the year. And so the worship team gets to come in a little bit later, which is nice for the worship team. And so from 9:30 in the morning until 9:45, we are going to have prayer time here in the sanctuary. To all those who want to just show up a little bit early, maybe 9 o'clock is a little bit too early to show up to Sunday morning workout. Maybe you can get your booty out of bed and be here by 9:30 and come in, and we're just going to pray for 15 minutes. Just gather together, pray over the service, pray over the people. If anyone has special prayer needs there, we can lay hands on them. But we're going to do that for 15 minutes, and that's going to kick off our Sunday mornings. And then at 9:45, we're going to all gather together and pray as a group. You don't have to pray out loud. Just come and pray. When you pray in your head, God still hears your prayers. However, sometimes God wants you to speak those things audibly, especially when you're dealing with the enemy, because the enemy can't read your mind. A lot of people think he can. No, he can't. So sometimes when you're praying God's word, it needs to come out of your mouth to be effective. So if you didn't get up at 9, try to make it at 9:30. We'd love to have you. We'll be here. And whoever's here, praise God. Where two or more are gathered, it says that God is right there in the midst of them. There's more than two in our worship team, so we got that covered. But we'd like to invite you to come in and join us in that prayer time. We have kids' church, and that is with Bailey. And I don't know, is Bailey gone? Is she?
She's in kids' church.
She's in kids' church. Okay. Well, so glad she's in kids' church, because we also have a group called Tiny Tots, and that is being led up by my pregnant daughter, Stephanie. Ashley, you're not pregnant, are you, sweetie? Okay. So, and that is 2 to 3 year olds. And if you've noticed on any given Sunday, sometimes we got a lot of those little buggers running around. So we have a new population of growing up. We don't have any teen kids age, so we have a gap there, but we got that coming up pretty soon. So life groups on Tuesday nights, Kim and Roger Brake are doing a life group in their home. Do you guys know what they're doing? If you look up on the screen, you can see what they're doing. I am so informed here at New Hope. I didn't have it on my notes, so that's what they're doing. Is anybody can't read? I won't read it to you then. There you go. So that is on Tuesday nights in their home. Wednesday nights, Belinda is doing a women's group, and it is encountering God. It looked like cod on my notes because I hand wrote it. Encountering Cod by Kelly Minter. And I am going to be leading a men's group, Chip Ingram, Why I Believe. If you haven't listened to any of Chip's stuff, he's very, very good. And this series, Why I Believe, he goes into so many things as far as what about the Bible? Is it real? Was Jesus a real person? Can you prove that Jesus was a real person without using any scriptures? He goes into all of that stuff. The stuff that a lot of people have questions about who are not Christians. And sometimes we just kind of go, I don't know. Why don't you come to church? No. We are going to give you some ammunition to use in defense of what you believe and why you believe it. So, gentlemen, I'd like to invite you out and encourage you to come. And I'm sure all the wives would encourage you to come as well, because I've talked to a lot of your wives and you need some help. And we have the youth group with Aaron and Brooke and this young lady right here. You can tell she likes it. You didn't woo when I did the mention the men's group. Yeah. Nope, too late. So we have opportunities. All of these things that we're doing are opportunities for you to connect to God, for you to connect to other people, so that we can release you for the service that God has for you. God has a special plan for each and every one of you. It's time to begin to walk that out. If you've been here for any length of time and you're still just kind of warming a seat, it's time to take that next step. I think I just had a stroke, Ron. It's time to take the next step. And that step is just one at a time. Don't ask God, God, what do you have planned for me 30 years down the road? No, he goes, I'll show you the next step. Because it might freak you out. If I'd asked that when I first became a believer, God, what are you going to have me do? Oh, I'm going to make you a pastor and speak in front of people. See, I was terrified of that. It made me ill to even think about it. So if he had revealed that to me back then, I would like, no. There were times when I thought, do I really want to be a Christian? Because God's going to send me down the Amazon River to be a missionary. I hate snakes and I hate spiders. And I thought, oh, if I give my heart to the Lord and turn my life over to him, he's going to make me do something that just terrifies me. No, he's not. And if he is going to use you to do that, he'll change your heart step by step by step. So wherever you are right now is where you are right now. But don't stay there. Take the next step into growth, into growing. 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 2. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You have to grow up. We have to grow up. We can't remain baby birds forever. Because a baby bird never grows up to teaching baby birds of its own how to find a worm. The problem with the Christian church today is there's too many baby birds sitting in the seats expecting the pastor and the leaders to do all of the work. That was not God's plan. It was not Jesus' plan when he gave it to the disciples. He said, go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. We're supposed to pass it on. So take that next step. Maybe that next step is showing up more often. See, every time that you show up on a Sunday morning, you are getting the Word of God at New Hope Christian Center. You're getting it. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get it. We do not shy away from the things that are controversial. You see, there are certain things that I teach out of the Bible that are considered hate speech. But they're in the Bible. And I really want to make a shirt that says, I disagree is not equal to I hate. You see, our culture says, oh, you disagree with me, you hate me. No, I don't. I disagree, but I still love you. I still respect you. I still honor you. See, you can disagree without hating someone. We teach the Word of God. I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You finish it. See, we need to know it. We need to connect with one another so that we can release you to do what God has called you to do. So what's that next step? And the next step is different for each and every person here. You are where you are in your walk. Don't compare it to someone else. It's you and God. So I encourage you to pray, God, what is that next step? What is the next step? Not the next six steps, the next step. And then be obedient to do it. Because He's not going to lead you somewhere that He doesn't want you to be. And He will give you the strength through His Spirit to do what you need to do. He's not calling you into an area of ministry that He is not equipping you for or already equipped you for. He's not going to send you into a gunfight with a knife. That's not Him. But we need to be growing in our faith each and every day. A year ago, if you're in the same place that you were a year ago in your faith, there's something wrong. We need to grow. Grow up in our salvation. Amen. Please stand.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that your word is true, that your word is active, that your word speaks to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would take what we heard today and that we would apply it to our lives, Lord. Let us not just be hearers of the word and deceive ourselves. Let us do what your word says. Lord, I pray you'd make all of us disciples. I pray you'd put people in our lives that we can disciple, Lord. And I pray that you would grow us and continue, Lord, to lead us down the path that you want us to go. Lord, you have a plan for each and every one of us. You have a purpose for each and every one of us. You have something you want each and every one of us to do for your kingdom and your holy name. I pray you give us the boldness and the courage to step out in faith and trust you and trust what you want from us, Lord. And again, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.